in the year that dot, 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 dot happened. So, not fiction. But it's also not a fable. You know, fables are the kind of stories you have this truth you want to illustrate, like perseverance pays off, and so you tell the story about the tortoise and the hare or something like that. And the story of Christ's birth is not a fable. It's not like there's some other thing this is illustrating, like little kids might grow up to be something important or something like that. There's no other truth that this is illustrating except to tell us that God became a man to save us. So we're called to believe it. Let's read it together, Luke chapter 2, and we'll start at verse 1 and we'll go through verse 21. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we want every grace that you can give to us as we remember that you sent your Son to save us, to do what no one else could do, to do what we know we can't do ourselves. And so help us as we hear these very familiar words. Help Christ to be ever new to us. And we need your help, Holy Spirit, in the name of Christ. Amen. I think most of us will open gifts tomorrow morning. Maybe some of you will break tradition and do it tonight. Go home and open up your gifts tonight. And, you know, some gifts that you receive, the person who gave you the gift is just simply saying, "I hope you enjoy this. I thought you would enjoy this. This would be a lot of fun. I could just picture you playing with this and it would be so much fun." And then there are other gifts that say, oh, you need this. Right? And some of those gifts are like, you know, you open up tomorrow morning and you have a weight scale. You know, thanks, honey. Complimentary with a, you know, year-long pass to the YMCA. And you get the picture. Like, okay, I guess I need this. Or if someone gives you breath mints, you know, tomorrow morning, you open those up. A few years ago, I got 3 boxes of soap and deodorant kits. So I thought, okay, this is more than one person is trying to communicate this to me. But right, those kind of gifts, they take some humility to accept. You got to say, okay, I need this. I just need to accept this. You know, when we read the Christmas story, verse 11 says that unto us has been given a gift. That the Father says, I'm going to give you something that you need. And verse 11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So God says to us this morning, you need a Savior. You need the Christ. You need the Lord. So I gave Him to you. And I want to think about just 2 things real quickly and we'll be finished. What is this gift? Christ, or what does the word Savior, Christ, and Lord? What do those 3 words mean? That's the gift, and who needs that? Let's think about it for a minute. It says, verse 11, if you have your Bible open, you can see it. This is the angels saying to the shepherds, but really to all of us, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Now, what's a Savior? Very simply, a Savior is a deliverer. A Savior is a rescuer. A Savior is somebody who gets you out of somewhere that you can't get out of yourself. And that's what the angel said to Mary and Joseph before Jesus was born. He said, his name is Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So his mission is in his name. His name is Jesus, which is Savior. So who needs a Savior? Well, if you're here this evening and just this past year, 2018, has been a year of recurring sin and you feel trapped and you've tried to get out, but you realize, I'm getting deeper in. I need a Savior. The good news is God has given us a Savior in Christ. He says he is Christ. That's the second thing. He is a Savior who is Christ. Now, what is that? Christ, that's probably the more obscure one of all these. We think that Christ, oh, that's Jesus' last name, right? No, it's a title, right? Christ is his title, which means he's anointed. We could spend till Christmas talking about what Christ means. We won't do that. But just real simply, it means that he's anointed. And there's this prophecy in the Old Testament that talks about the Messiah, which is what Christ means, the Messiah will be anointed with the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might. And so, who needs that? And so you're here this evening, and you realize, man, I can get information anywhere. Hey, Alexa. Hey, Google. Hey, Siri. You can get information anywhere. Where will you get wisdom? The Messiah, Christ, is anointed with the spirit of wisdom. If you are just troubled, I don't know what to do, I have no wisdom, you can ask him. The third thing it says here is he is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, what does that mean? He's the Lord. The Lord was the master of a house. He owned everything. Like, everything in the house belongs to him, to the Lord, to the master. Think about this. The Apostle Paul later on says, talking about Jesus, he says, every knee will bow to him. And then he says, I don't know if you ever thought about this, he says, every knee in heaven, every knee on earth, and everything under the earth. Like, there's coming a day when the posture of the cosmos will be down before Jesus. The whole thing, everything will be before him. Every knee will bow to him. That's what it means when it says he is the Lord. Now, who needs that? Anyone who comes in tonight and you feel like all the stuff that I have in my life is getting over me. I don't know if you, like Christmas time, right? You know you got a whole bunch of stuff coming in and a whole lot of money going out. And there it is, all this stuff's happening. And, you know, there's just like wrapping paper everywhere. And you feel like the stuff is getting, like I am, the stuff has just gotten control of me. What this passage says is, Jesus is the Lord. And you don't make him Lord, you bow to him as Lord. You say, you're the Lord. End of story. There is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Let me end with this, and then we'll come to the table. A couple of years ago, one of our kids had a birthday party, and it was like a couple hours before the party started, and this child said, Daddy, I don't want the birthday to come. And I said, why not, buddy? I mean, we put a lot of thought and a lot of time into this. Why not? I mean, it was like a Star Wars birthday party. Come on, this is going to be so awesome. Why not a birthday party? And he said, because once I have the party, then it's over. And that's the way Christmas feels, right? It's like all this hype, man, Christmas is going to be great. And then like December 27th, toys are broken. Something accidentally got thrown out in all the paper. It's like, oh no, what happened? The Father has given us a gift. Here's what it feels like, right? Here's what it feels like. I know Jesus and he is getting old. You know, there's a verse in the Old Testament where it says that his mercies are new every morning. In other words, okay, God has given us Jesus. That was like 2,000 years ago or so. What do I do with this? Here's what you do. You go to him in the morning, and the mercy of the Savior is new. The mercy of the Christ is new. The mercy of the Lord is new. Every morning, every evening. His mercies are new every morning. I mean, he is God in the flesh. Old Testament scriptures say he is the cypress tree that is evergreen. He is the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. He's the balm of Gilead. He doesn't get old. His mercies are new every morning. Come to Christ. Christmas morning, come to Christ. And come to him every morning. Let's pray. Lord, we're going to come to your table now. And it's just bread and juice. And yet by your Holy Spirit, this is new. You will renew our hearts on Christ. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have not grown tired of us. Though we've forgotten you, you have not forgotten us. And we come to you now asking, praying that you would be our Savior, our Christ, and our Lord. Rule over us and save us from our sins. Be new to us this evening and tomorrow morning and every day until we see you. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Here's a gift we're going to open tonight, Dave. We're going to open it tonight. This is one of those gifts that you need, but you also get to enjoy. It's called a celebration of the Lord's Supper. So when you come to this table, you come celebrating. You get to come and you get to enjoy this. Some of you came here tonight, they said, oh, it was a candlelight service. Nobody said anything about communion. What am I supposed to do? Let me tell you, this is not the table of Covenant Presbyterian Church. This is the table of Jesus. So you belong to Jesus. This is your table. You've got a church somewhere. You've been baptized there, and you've made your profession there. But this table is for anybody, how shall we say it, who knows they need it, and they really want it. So if tonight you want to enjoy Jesus, he says, come. He says, come and celebrate. Come and celebrate with me. Just by way of logistics, we're going to get up and come down front. There'll be an elder here, an elder there, and each of them will have each element in their hand. You'll take a cup. There'll be a if you'll come down these aisles, and you can circle back that way, and you can circle back up this way. There'll be there's a plate here. You can put your cup in here, or you can put your cup over there. The same over here. Just come down this way, and there's a place to put your cup there. And if you don't get all that down, it doesn't matter. Just come in here whichever way you want to. If you want to be fed on Jesus. It was on the night that he was betrayed that he took bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body which is for you. Take it and eat it and do it in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood which is poured out for many. For the forgiveness of sins, all of you drink of it. As often as we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we remember the Lord's death until he comes again. Come to Christ tonight, won't you? Dave, if you'll come, and Keith, I think you're coming.